Let's get started. Okay, so time permitting, I put two tshuvas on the sheet because they're A, related, and B, because they're actually back-to-back in Rav Moshe. So the first one, or actually the second one that's published, is the one that we're going to spend more time on. That's a longer one and meatier, so to speak. And that's the question of cosmetic surgery, popularly known as plastic surgery. But cosmetic surgery. The tshuva that happens to appear in Rav Moshe's sefer right before that, which is related, is about dieting. And both of them are connected to sugyas in Baba Kama that I believe that guys in the yeshiva did at Night Seder not that long ago, on Daf Sadi Aleph. So that's a nice link and a coincidence. But there are a number of other issues, certainly when it comes to the issue of dieting. It should be a cosmetic surgery, which is the main thing we're discussing. And let's introduce the issue as follows. First, in a Metzias question, there are two different types or two different reasons why somebody would have plastic surgery and cosmetic surgery, and they're known under different names. There is the cosmetic surgery, and then there is something which is kind of within a subcategory of a reconstructive plastic surgery. What is the difference is that cosmetic surgery is purely for aesthetics, vanity, because you think you look better, bigger or smaller, tighter, etc. And that is a growing business, an industry, in certainly in America and I guess throughout the world. However, the very same chokhmah, the very same medical science and advances that allow that, allow something which is objectively even more important, and that's reconstructive surgery. Reconstructive surgery, I think, again, I'm not being precise in speaking in some medical scientific term, but I believe that term is used for two different subcategories. One, which I guess is the most aligned with the word reconstructive, is that someone who was born, quote, with normal physical appearance, unquote, but there was, God forbid, a terrible injury, a fire, a car accident, or from disease, and somehow they were maimed, they were deformed, something got, and therefore, unbelievably, Baruch Hashem, Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, there's now medical technology, surgery that can reconstruct and make that person look whole again. There are also forms, are people who have congenital defects. People who are born missing things, with too many things, in the wrong places things. So they're also, in addition to the health factor, but from a physical and psychological perspective, from appearance and psychological perspective, there can also be that. So all of these are surgeries which are not being done to treat something specifically medical that's necessary for the person's physical health. But in recent decades, it's not brand new, but it's certainly advanced significantly in recent decades, there is now the possibility for this type of plastic surgery, cosmetic surgery, etc. What we're going to be speaking about, although there is some overlap with the categories of reconstructive, but what we're going to be mainly focusing on is the specific example of the tshuva that Rav Moshe was asked, which is purely aesthetic, purely cosmetic, and that is the question of what is known technically as a rhinoplasty, which is the technical formal term for a nose job. So Rav Moshe's tshuva, as you see here, is dated Tavshin Chav Dalet, which is, who wants to do the math, what year is that? 54 years. Right, so right now it is Tavshin Ayin. So this is almost 50 years ago. Right? It's almost 50 years. Right? So now it's Ayin Chet. Oh, I'm sorry, you're right, I'm sorry. It's a little more than 50 years ago, thank you. A little bit more than 50 years ago. I could tell you, again, I didn't like do the history of science here, but I think that that was around the time, more or less, where rhinoplasty became like a really specialized and easy procedure to do. I know for my mother growing up in her community, was actually a religious doctor in Cincinnati, Ohio, who used his expertise and popularity in that new availability, that new procedure, among other things that he did well and successfully, to become a hugely successful doctor and then businessman, who then ends up giving lots of tzedakah. But his name was Dr. Sidney Peerless, and if you grew up in Cincinnati in a certain time of year, you know, a certain epoch, around approximately, not that long, around 50 plus years ago, people would talk about having a peerless nose. So these things could, you know, in a small town, these things could be common enough that they can even... Anyway, before we actually see... So, Lamaise, it's not surprising that exactly at this time in history, 50-plus years ago, is when Rav Moshe was asked the Shaila. And the question is, before we see how Rav Moshe deals with it and what he says, if I were to ask you, thinking halakhically now, what possible issues do you think there could be?
Yes.
So the one that I already telegraphed, because of course you've done it in Baba Kama and Night Seder, is the issue of injuring yourself, of Hakovel. Good. Kabbalah. What else? But could you think of anything else less obvious? So one might be an issue of vanity. This is discussed especially when it comes to men. Because there are some who want to suggest that even if it's mutter for a woman, something like this might be by definition beged isha. Beged isha is not limited to begadim. That's clear in halacha. Things which are known to be so gender specific, so focused on a particular gender, so those are potentially violations if the other gender, typically it's in that direction, a man doing something that's so identified as something feminine, and often it has to do with issues of physical appearance and vanity, but that could be specifically an issue for men. Rav Moshe is not going to discuss that at all, but that's just worth keeping in mind. There's one other factor which is brought up at least by some post-kim, although not Rav Moshe. Can anyone imagine what that is? Not strictly halachic, although if you really believe it's a problem, you would, it might impact the halacha in terms of telling someone they can't do this. That's a theological issue, which is, right? Basically, as Aaron is saying, kind of improving, like, who are you to improve on God's creation? Like, Hashem made you with that nose, Hashem made you with that fill in the blank, so there might be potentially a theological issue with improving that. We know already from the Gemara, and obviously many Rishonim already talk about the Jewish philosophical idea, that Hashem in certain ways made the world incomplete, and that part of our Hashkafas HaChayim and our Hashkafas HaOlam is with Bris Mila or other things, we partner with Hashem to complete the Bria. But if Hashem made the nose complete and it works and all that, you just don't like it, that might be potentially an issue. There's a famous Gemara that speaks about a certain one of the Chachamim who ran into someone really ugly, and in a very shocking display of non-menschel type, he embarrassed and insulted the guy who was ugly. But the best part of the Gemara is that he had a great comeback. He says to the Rav, why are you making fun of me? You should make fun of the person who made me. I.e., if you're saying that someone doesn't look nice in a really degrading way, it's not their fault. They didn't make their nose, they didn't make their eyes, they didn't make their ears. Obviously, it's really an insult to Hashem. So in a similar vein, one could argue that if a person decides, my nose isn't good enough, I want to do better than what Hashem did, maybe there's a theological issue, and there's at least one of the poskim that I'm aware of who in his discussion of plastic surgery is very, very against, primarily or largely based on this theological issue. I'll take your question in 1 second. As we will see momentarily, for whatever the reason, Rav Moshe really avoids all those other issues. And Rav Moshe's tshuva is pretty much exclusively about the Baba Kama issue, and that is the issue of Chavala. I'm sorry, one last thing I'm sorry we could have mentioned, which Rav Moshe also is not going to mention, but this relates to some extent what we saw last week, which is that there's an isser of endangering yourself. And even though even 50 years ago, let alone now, cosmetic surgery can be done very, very safely, most of the time outpatient, etc. But pretty much, you know, I was always taught to believe that by definition, any surgery is dangerous, especially if it would require a full anesthesia. My in-laws have told me the story more than once of a young man who was getting liposuction. I'm not sure if it was really a health reason or just he didn't like the way he looked. He was overweight. But either way, a high school student in the school that my wife and sister-in-law went to and that my father-in-law was an administrator at, and he died on the table. He died from complications. So these things, and every now and then you do hear about it, especially if people who kind of are looking to save a few bucks and don't go to the best doctors. But relatively speaking, these things are safe. But if you assume that by definition there's a certain danger, so are you allowed to put yourself at risk if all it is cosmetic, all it is vanity? Rav Moshe doesn't discuss that either. Moshe's shuvah is not long, but it's not short. It's very serious and very in-depth. But he is telegraphed, he is focused exclusively, virtually, on the question of Chavala. Yes.
On a theological issue, don't we do that all the time, like with everything in our lives, that it's like a fruit or vegetable that could be eaten raw, but we cook it? Like, is that also, like, you know, spitting
so, so where do you draw the line would be a good question. Far afield, especially since our Moshe doesn't discuss it. That's what I was alluding to before. That was discussion of Bris Mila also. I was discussing that. So in Echonami, there is a notion of us partnering if things are made imperfectly. But if you assume that the human body, assuming that it's functioning, is
made perfectly fine.
Again, I don't want to discuss it with you. I don't want to debate it with you. This is not. It's not all discussing our Moshe. I hear what you're saying, and it could be that that's exactly why Moshe never discusses it. I'm just telling you that hypothetically one could imagine it, and in fact I'm aware of at least one tshuva that specifically is hung up on it. But Ein Echonami, since all the other tshuvas either completely matir the nose job or don't even mention the issue, so Ein Echonami, you may very well be right. I just don't want to get bogged down in that. Okay, so without further ado, 20th of Adar, Tavshin Chav Dalet, what say you of Moshe? Nishalti b'na'ara shirotzen liyapot atma kdei sheyikbetzu aleha lekacha. Right? I don't know if she was this forthright, but Rav Moshe doesn't mince any words. She wants to do some cosmetic surgery so that more people will be interested in dating her. Right? She feels insecure. She feels she's not getting enough dates. She's got a big nose or a crooked nose. So she figures that the answer to all of her problems will be a little surgery, and then the men will become knocking. And how she do this? Again, I didn't check the dates, but I'm sure if you did the history of science, you'd find that around this time, rhinoplasty became, you know, very common and very accepted. He says, Rav Moshe, this new thing, al yedei nituach shu chavala begufa, so a person's going to do a surgery, that's certainly not considered a chavala, im uteres mitzad ha'isr lechmo ba'atmo. You see, perhaps this is because of how the question was asked, but Rav Moshe's whole focus is very specific. Is there a problem of chavala or not when it comes to getting a nose job or any kind of similar aesthetic procedure, cosmetic surgery? So the first part of Rav Moshe's tshuva is to analyze and discuss a potential roadblock in this, and that is Shitas HaTosfos in Baba Kama. Hinei HaTosfos, fourth line, Baba Kama Daftari Aleph on the Beis, Isa, Asur Lachbo Ba'atmo, Afilu Litzora. Tosfos has a chiddush that it's asur to do chavala to yourself, even if there is a tzorech. Even if there is a reason. If you look in that Gemara and in that Tosfos, and later on Rav Moshe is going to address this, the examples that are given in, or that are referred to there as a tzorech are either for parnasa or as part of a mourning ritual, like ripping your clothes excessively or cutting yourself or something like that as part of a mourning process. So you're not doing it for no reason. You're doing it for a potentially, hypothetically, legitimate reason. And nevertheless, the Tosfos knows the context there is what the halacha says to do, you're allowed, like tearing kriya. But more than that, is not allowed. So, says Tosfos, without giving much guidelines, chavala, even if it's litzorech, if we define it as chavala, will be aser. So with that in mind, says Rav Moshe, Rav Moshe gives an example for parnasa. Gahad isha shetavka al roshah laharviach isar shemen. Had to do with a case where oil had spilled and she's gathering up the oil even in a way that may hurt her or embarrass herself, but she's willing to do that to gain a little extra money. That's Rav Moshe's case. But the bottom line is what we see from here, says Rav Moshe. Im kein, perhaps according to Tosfos, that will prohibit, before we even get started, that will prohibit any kind of a nose job, any kind of cosmetic surgery. Im kein, av shekanhu, tzorech gadol, you could argue that this is a tzorech gadol, ha yeshlich ora la'asor. We could argue that it should be usher based on Tosfos. Tosfos says Litzorach it's usher. Now maybe you'll say, well, to save a few bucks, a few pennies, maybe that's considered usher. But to help a woman get a shidduch, maybe that's a tzorach gadol. Maybe you can distinguish between how necessary something is, how big, how great the tzorach is. So says Rav Moshe, he doesn't think that that's going to work. The dochek lachalik bein tzorach katan letzorach gadol kol zman shlo matzina beferush. You know, on our own, we could surmise, we could speculate. But he says, you know, without anything firm or explicit in the Rishonim, it's very hard to, you know, undo or to get out of it. What could be otherwise? Issur d'oraisa, just based on our svara of what would be a bigger or greater or smaller need. However, you could ask, so if you recall, again, I think you guys did this Gemara, if you recall, the Gemara commenting on the Mishnah seemed to assume that there was an Isser to be Chovel even yourself, not only Chovel other people. So the Gemara was trying to figure out what was the source for that. And there was various attempted theories in the Gemara. And one, which our motion now turns to, was when the Gemara says, what about Rabbi Elazar HaKapar Berebi? Berebi, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Berebi is a term of Kavod. It's not that he's the son of Rebbe. Sometimes the Beis Reishin, you know, the son of. But I don't think that's what it means here. I think it's a term of Kavod. That Rabbi Elazar HaKapar was the one who held the Nazirhu Chote Shetzir Atum Minayayin. So Rabbi Elazar HaKapar understood that the Pasuk, which speaks about there being that the Nazir is a Chote, there's a Korban Chatas for the Nazir. So Rabbi Elazar HaKapar understands that the very act of becoming a Nazir is the sin. The very act of becoming a Nazir is how a person, quote-unquote, injured himself. In what way? Because he withheld Yayin from him. So on the one hand, that's a very subtle kind of pain, as the Gemara itself is about to make a Kav HaChomer. But we should just point out that if you would say an argument like that now, it would only make sense if we were talking about a total alcoholic. Right? Like, what's the big tsar? A person's not going to drink wine. Right? And somebody who couldn't, you know, someone who really felt in pain because they didn't drink wine for a month, I think we might wonder what's going on there. See, I this is my own interpretation, but maybe it's just obvious, even though I didn't see it anywhere else. I think it makes sense. You have to understand, obviously, in the time of the Gemara, the Mishnah, this was their iced tea. This was their coke. This is what they drank. They drank wine. So for a person to say, I'm going to go without that staple, that beverage, which is really... Well, so that, again, it's not the kind of pain as if I rip your ear off. Right? I just went from 0 to 60 in about a millisecond. Right? Wine to ripping your ear off. But according to the Gemara, this is going to be a copper. It's something. Once it's something, says the Gemara, as you recall, the Gemara continues, end of the line, Kavachomer, Lamitstar Atma Bechavola. If I can't even inflict pain on myself by withholding Yayin, so I certainly can't injure myself. That was the Gemara's source there. So says Rav Moshe, on the one hand, I started off by saying that Licha Ora, there should be Usur, according to Tosfos. Yes, it's true that there's a Litzorek, there's a good reason to help us go get a few good dates. On the other hand, he says, maybe we could ask on that, because the Gemara says that according to those are copper, the basis of the Isra of Chavala, which is what we're talking about, the basis is the case of Nazir. So says Rav Moshe, let's put on our thinking caps for a second and analyze the halacha of Nazir. And about the five lines up from the bottom of the first paragraph. Shevadai mistaber. Again, you see by the word mistaber, Rav Moshe doesn't have a proof for what he's about to say. Doesn't have a source. But it makes sense to him. Says Rav Moshe, Bevadai mistaber. I think that makes total sense. Shem yeshlo hanas mamon. Oshar hana kishi yisayar atzmo v'lo yishtayayin shlo yehayasar. Let's say there was a contest, there was some reality TV show, and somebody said, if you could, you know, not drink wine for the week, you're going to win $1,000. And a person decides that that's worth it. And he really is somewhat discomforted by the lack of wine. But at the end, he becomes a champion. Everybody knows his name. He's famous. And he wins $1,000. Would you say, according to Lazar HaKapar, that's usur or not? Lazar HaKapar is Darshan the Pasuk, that there's an Isser Tzarim and a Yayin. And yet, says Rav Moshe, despite the fact that's pretty explicit in Rav Elazar HaKapar, he thinks Vadai Mistaber, says Rav Moshe, he thinks that would be Mutter. Even according to Rav Elazar HaKapar. Why? What do you think before we continue reading? What do you think this far is going to be? Or do you disagree? Ellie? Right, so that's exactly what Rav Moshe says. Because you have to weigh things, right? Nothing is in a vacuum. Right, as your parents, if not teachers, but I certainly hope your parents have probably tried to teach you as you're growing up, right? The ability to trade in a short-term hana for a long-term one is part of what makes a mature and successful adult, right? Why does anyone ever save money, right? People, there are certain people who spend their paycheck the second they get it, right? It burns all. Right? Those are not going to be successful people. Right? The ability to have delayed gratification, one of the most important signs of being a mature and successful adult. You guys know the famous marshmallow experiment. I think it was in Stanford, right, where they did this, and they, right, with these little kids, they gave them a marshmallow, and they said, if you want, you can eat it, but if you wait, like, 2 minutes, you'll get 2 marshmallows, right, and they tested which kids were able to withstand, even though, you know, you're going to get double marshmallow, but you have to wait. That was interesting. What was interesting is once they identified which kids were hardwired for delayed gratification, they followed all of these kids, the ones who didn't. And they claim, I forget the specific numbers, but that very large, overwhelming percentages, the people who already as children exhibited the ability to have delayed gratification were far more successful in life. So whether you would have done it as a kid or not, you, even if you didn't, if you can learn it, if you can acquire that as a skill, that would be important. But I digress for a second. The point is, though, when you say that to a person, right, you've earned a paycheck, so why don't you go out, you know, and spend all that money, you know, at the ball game or at the bingo hall, right? Why are you saving it? Well, because I want to buy myself a new car. I figured that if I, you know, put away, you know, $500 from each, you know, paycheck, you know, in 2 years I'll be able to buy a car. So is he suffering? Yes and no. On the one level, yes, he could have been having fun with that money. On the other hand, the hanah he's going to get, or he's already getting, knowing he's getting closer to the car, let alone the actual car when he uses it, that, in fact, redefines the whole act. It's not one of, he's not inflicting suffering on himself. He's choosing a greater long-term pleasure over a short-term one. So that, one second, that is exactly what Moshe says here. Im kein. 4 lines up from the bottom of the first paragraph. Gav hachob l'ba'atzmo, shalfinan mizeh, afu mikavachomer. Even though we said that hachovo ba'atmo is certainly more severe than just not having wine, nevertheless, ein le'esor k'shu l'tzorech harvachos mamon o l'shar tzrachim. The eich kosva Tosu shefi l'tzorech osir lachvo ba'atmo. That's his shaila on Tosu. Tosu says it's an isr chavola if it's a l'tzorech. Says Rav Moshe, if there's some real tzorech, so why don't we say that that is just delayed gratification, and that redefines the act, right? You know, lots of things, right? Think of almost anything, right? Studying for a test, right? Your friends went out to a party, and you stayed home and studied. Or, you know, your friends are sleeping in, and you're waking up at 5 in the morning to run 6K, or to lift, or to take extra shots, because you want to be starting on the varsity this year, right? Running so you could hopefully be mitzdayein in the army. Whatever the things that people do are, right? So, yes, it's true that we would say, you know, especially we had some good music in the background, you know, one of those pump-up mixes, right, that there's a certain suffering the person's doing. But they're doing it because, for them, the long-term pleasure is worth it. So says Rav Moshe, and he thinks that's for sure true with the wine, so too he says, well, that the whole Tosfos doesn't make any sense. Why should it be Asur L'Tzorech? If for that person this is a Tzorech, so why don't we say that's analogous? I could have had an hour extra sleep, but instead I wake up to do, you know, to run and to work out, because for me that's a greater pleasure. That's his question on Tosfos. Yeah.
Can you make halach between being chovel d'atmo and just like taking away a sort of hanah?
In a sharper way, yes, that's exactly what Moshe is going to do. Right, we have. That's the kibun that he's going in. Very good. Yeah.
Just a defense, isn't this some case with Nazir also? You get some hana with that, you know, spiritual closeness to Hashem or whatever. Right? There's a reason people become Nazir, right?
A Nazir, right?
Yeah.
So you say even within. So you're saying again. So our emotions are talking about
don't become a Nazir just stomp. And, oh yeah, I may as well just stomp myself and have a wine for no reason whatsoever. Right.
Right.
You have to have some reason or some hana.
I don't know if that counts as hana. In other words, you're right. There's a reason. I don't know if that, you know, if the person thinks he'll get closer to Hashem that way, I don't know if that would count. It's an interesting question.
For some reason people do.
Correct. But I don't know that would be...
something.
That's correct. Okay. So with that hanacha, let's see how Rav Moshe takes Aaron's basic answer and sharpens it. Take a look. Second paragraph. Tzarech lomar, you have to say, Shebiyayin hamonea milishtos bishvil eza harvacha lo nechshav klal mitzta'er mizeh. When it comes to withholding a pleasure, i.e. whatever pleasure a person gets from wine, if there's a greater pleasure that you can accomplish by not drinking the wine, we don't view it as your mitzta'er yourself, but it's letzorech, therefore it's mutter. For that, we look at the sum total and we say the net is not a tsar. Because whatever the hana you're getting overwhelms and redefines the act as a net victory. Now again, having that hana with no tsar would even be better. Right? We're all human, right? Why not? But, you know, if I could start on the varsity and still get an extra hour of sleep, even better. But okay, but given that I have to make this choice, for me, it's not that I'm suffering, but it's worth it, says our Moshe. If there's a hana that I would want, but I'm not going after that hana. It's something external. I'm not in pain. It's that I'm not getting a hana. Right? Withholding from yayin is not the same thing as we said, right? As ripping your ear off or kavala. Right? It's a hana out there that I'm withholding for myself. So there's a motion. If it's a hana that's out there that I'm withholding, so then we can start doing a hana calculus. And if for you subjectively the hana of delayed gratification is greater, that would redefine the whole act. As he says explicitly, came the hana also meharevach gedola mitzaro, the kishiyushta veloyarviach. Right? If he looks at it, I have two options. I can either drink the wine and not get, you know, win the reality TV show that I would win if I didn't drink, or I could not drink the wine and win the reality TV show. When I do a cost benefit analysis, for me there's more revach, there's more benefit by delaying, by not doing it. Harayelo odio tertzar mizeh shehipsin a revach shaya masik shol yishtayayin. Right? On the contrary, it's true that I'm hurting myself, so to speak, by not drinking. But it would hurt me much more to know that because I couldn't resist a cup of wine, I lost $1,000. So Moshe says, that's for sure, understandably, mutter, because we're talking about a hana that's, so to speak, mibachutz. If I want, I can go out and grab it, but I cannot grab it because I want a bigger hana. That's the key, it's a minia. I'm withholding something. It's not that I'm inflicting pain, but I'm withholding a pleasure, or a greater pleasure. Menias shtias hayayin who rock mitzat shemis avelize. Right? If it would be Gottlieb, I would win that reality show every time. Because I don't like wine. It's not a taiva for me. If a person has a taiva, so withholding it and not acting on your taiva, on your desire, is kiilu a pain. But then, if I have a bigger taiva, so I have a taiva for yayin, I have a taiva for money. So, for certain people, the taiva for yayin is greater, and they drink away their life. And lose their job and lose their marriage and all sorts of things because the taiva for yayin is greater. And for other people, say, you know what, I really would love, you know what, I love wine, I love beer, I'd be happy to stay out late at night drinking, I'd be happy to, you know, have my first beer right when I woke up, but I know that it'll ruin my life, and having a good and successful productive life is a greater hana. So says our Moshe, in that case where the whole thing we're talking about is not inflicting a pain but withholding a pleasure, so then we can look at the bigger picture, and my greater pleasure, even if it's delayed, is considered redefining. However, middle of the second paragraph, that's not comparable to chovel, as Aaron was distinguishing before. Right, you got 2 points for any tshuva that uses the word mamish in a halachic sense. Right? Says Rav Moshe, this is tsar mamish. I'm not just withholding a pleasure, I'm inflicting an actual, real pain. Lo mitzat taiva. It's not that certain people are misave for yayin, and I withheld yayin. Right? You don't say certain people are misave not to be stabbed. That would not be a right formulation, says Rav Moshe. Right? Right? It's not some taiva that you have. It's just the normal state of being. Therefore, he says, if that's what we're talking about, a real chovel like that, lo mischalev zeh b'tzar shlo yarviach shurach mitzat taiva l'arviach. You can't exchange that and say, well, because of the delayed pleasure that I'm going to get, that neutralizes the pain. No, the pain is still there. In that case, says Rav Moshe, umashe misratza lachmol v'atmo b'shvil harevach hu shemitzat ritzono hagadol harvachas hamomon. Wrote the Lisbo Atar, she's Asur. Take a different reality show. This probably exists in a demented world that we live in. Not that you just withhold money. If you let me hit you, or worse, you hit yourself, I'll give you $1,000. Would that be mutter? It says Rav Moshe. No, that's what Tosfos is referring to. That's what we say, letzorech aser. Because that is a fundamental tsar, what he calls a tsar mamish. Right? A tsar mamish. And there, it's not that there's no tsar if I get the money. It's just that my taiva for money is so great that I'm willing to suffer the tsar. Says Rav Moshe, that's chovel letzorech. That's aser. As opposed to if we're talking about not a tsar mamish, but we're just talking about a menias hana, a menias revach, like not drinking wine, not fill in the blank, whatever pleasure you're talking about. So for that, the pleasure of being feeling good about myself, the pleasure of making money, the pleasure of being successful in life, etc., that itself redefines the action. I have 3 kids in dorms, but one of them is like a 20-year-old daughter, so she probably also likes to stay up too late, but she's relatively mature for her age and an age where she should be mature. But I have one son who's 18, and you know, boys who are 18 are far less mature than typical girls who are 20. And certainly when he was younger, plus I have my third child, is a 15-year-old freshman who's in the dorm. Right? So dorming, as you know, when you did it, when you first started Shana'al, right, it's a huge nisayon, because it's fun to be hanging out with the guys and staying up late, and before you know it, it's 2 in the morning. Right? So at some point, you know, you have to, if you're going to be successful in yeshiva, you have to be mature enough to say, it's not that I don't enjoy hanging out, but I enjoy being successful in yeshiva even more. I enjoy being productive. I enjoy, you know, the feeling of self-gratification, let alone the respect of my rebbeim and my peers, because I showed up to minyan and I was at morning seder and I didn't ditch, you know, or in my kids' class, you know, whatever first period is, right? Well, in their case, it's gemara, but whatever. The point is, so that's what Moshe is saying. There's a fundamental distinction, very fascinating. Because in that case, you wouldn't say if a person says, I'm turning off the lights at midnight, even though my friends are staying up for another hour, you wouldn't say, he's mitzaer, but he decided it's letzorach, it's worth it. So the person, it's not a tzar. It's a calculus. And then for you, the pleasure of what you'll benefit from being up, getting up early is greater than the pleasure you would get from staying up late. So that is a pleasure. Period. As opposed to if we said, no, we're going to inflict pain, but we'll do it letzorech. Again, the letzorech could be money, letzorech could be some other form of pleasure, but lamaisa, it really is a pain. So that's what Tosa says is usur. Yes?
Is he not just saying that when we say that a chova ba'atmo is usur, that's only physical, meaning mental, emotional, psychological pain that you allow to do.
I would distinguish that, because I think that you could argue that there are certain kinds of psychological pain which are tsa'ar mamish. I'm saying there could be all sorts of cases, boshet is a real halakhic category, right? Not only if you got beaten up and you look funny, right? You can embarrass people even without, you know, hurting them.
Of course, it's not a physical like.
Right, right. So I don't think I would use that to say. There's a certain overlap with physical versus non-physical, but I don't think that's the distinction. I think it's what he calls tsa'ar mamish versus meniyas hana, meniyas reva. Okay? So all of that is within the Tosfos. And it sounds like, if I understood him correctly, it sounds like, at the end of the day, at least at the moment, Tosos might hold that Arno's job is usher. Because it's true that it's Lesoreth, she wants to get a shidduch, but, you know, having somebody put like some kind of a, you know, thing up your nose on one side, take a hammer and so they can break it and redo it, like, that's real Kabbalah. Right? No, it's true, it's for Lesoreth, but according to Tosos, that would be usher. However, says Ramosha, he can be matzir the nose jobs. Tell everyone to, it's okay. He matzirs the nose jobs based not on Tosfos, but based on the Rambam. Because the Rambam has a very famous formulation when he refers to the Isser of Kabbalah. Bottom of the right-hand column. Aval HaRambam, HaKasa Bereish Perakei Michovel, B'Isser HaKal, Adam Kosher Miyisrael, Shuba Makeh. When the Rambam is quoting the Isser of injuring or hitting another person, says the Rambam, what is the Isser? The Rambam adds, unnecessarily, or seemingly, Derech Nitzayon, or L'chad Girsa Derech Bizayon, Ayin Shum. There's two different, it's a very famous issue in the Girsa of the Rambam. There's different versions of the Girsa. In some versions, the Rambam says, it's usur derech bizayon, that's easier to translate. It's usur to hit somebody or to hurt yourself if you do it in a degrading way, in order to cause a bizayon. Derech nitzayon, which other girsaot have, is a little bit harder to translate, basically means in a kind of a belligerent manner. I'm sure there's a subtle difference between the two formulations, but those poskim who discuss Shita Sarambam don't really make a distinction. Or on this girsa, something will be mutter, on this girsa. The point is, one way or the other, the Rambam introduces a massive, major, significant qualification into the Isser of Chavala. It's only if it's the intent is part of the definition of the Avera. Im Kain, he says, or Moshe, Be'ubdazu, Shachavaluhi Liaposa, Hari Eno Derech Nisayon Ubizayon, as you see, Rav Moshe blends them together. Shelo Shayecha Isur, says Rav Moshe, if it's not being done Derech Bizayon, on the contrary, she thinks she's making herself, it's Derech Yofi, she's making herself beautiful. That was true. Her mother's been telling her for 18 years she looks beautiful the way she is. But either the mother doesn't believe it herself and she's being nice, or even if the mother believes it, it doesn't matter. She doesn't believe it. Or even if she did believe it, apparently the boys don't believe it. But whatever the case is, it's clear, says Rav Moshe, she's not doing this because she's a masochist. She's not doing this to be mavaza herself, to inflict pain on herself. This is not some version of being a cutter or something like that, chas v'shalom. This is because she thinks that this will beautify herself. So in that case, says Rav Moshe, it's not chavala, but there's a tzorech. If it's not derech bizayon, it is, by definition, not even a maisa chavala. It's a maisa tikkun. It's a maisa ripui. V'im b'maka chaveru hu rak derech nitzayon ubizayon, gam b'maka atzmo ein le'asur k'shu liyapos, sh'ein derech nitzayon ubizayon. He reiterates the point. The remaining, from here to the end of the paragraph, is an interesting tangent, but we don't have time, so we're going to skip that. Let's skip now to the left-hand side of the page, the second paragraph there. So the next two parts to the end of the tshuva are where he brings proofs to his chiddush, to this hagdara of the Rambam, based on Gemara. So first of all, he says, in the second paragraph there, v'yesh lahavi raya, to the Rambam, mihad amar baba kama, the Gemara right there in the continuation, on Daf Tziari Aleph, tells about, I think it's Rav Chisda, kad hava maske beini hizmi v'haga, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. He was walking through some thorns and some shrubs with sharp thorns and the like. And what did he do? Madli lehu lemane. He lifted up his robe. He lifted up his clothes so they shouldn't get snagged and ripped and ruined by the thorns, by the shrubs. And, you know, I don't know if anyone actually asked him why he was doing it, or he just anticipated someone asking him, why are you doing it? But the Gemara says he explained very simply, and he said, Amar, ze mala aruka, ze eno mala aruka. Right? Something is going to get destroyed. Right? Because what, well, let's take a step back for a second. When he lifted up the robe, what happened? The thorns just magically went away? No, obviously not. What are the thorns going to scratch and rip? His legs. Says Rav Chisda, ze mala aruka. My legs can heal. Right? Give it a week, I'll be good as new. But if the fancy suit and the robe gets destroyed, that can't be fixed. That'll be destroyed. So that's in the Gemara. So says Rav Moshe, fourth line, Im kol hachov el chayiv, if you assume the chova as an absolute is always chayiv, eicha yamuter lolech b'nei hizmi v'haga, b'lo begadim shiach bo v'atmo. How could he do that? He's in essence causing himself to have a chavala. Hayavur ha'isr chovo v'atmo, that would count as isr chavala. If you'll tell me, okay, he doesn't want to hurt himself. He really just wants to walk through to get to the other side. Says Moshe, so what? It's a psik ratio. The dochek lomar dive open shalai psik ratio. The pashtus of the case is he had no choice. Something was getting ripped, either his legs or the thing. So by him choosing his legs to get ripped over his clothing, whether he had kavana or not, of course he'd rather not get hurt. But it's basically it's tantamount to him wanting to because of psik ratio. So why was that mutter? Says Rav Moshe, you see from this, the Chin Tzarach Lomar, the Yisra Chovel, who rock derech nitzayon. That's only if you're doing it in a way that's belligerent or degrading to yourself. But here he just had to get to wherever he needed to go. Har'ein zed derech nitzayon v'leka isur. So this is another example, another proof, says Rav Moshe, where you see that apparently a person's intention can define whether it's usur or not. He then, in the little paragraph here, the three lines in the middle, he brings it to a conclusion and he says, Lachain, Nira Mizesh Yeshla Hatir Lahan Arali Apos Atma, Afshua Ide Chavala, Kem Shena Derech Nitzayon, Ubizayon Ela Adaraba Lit Tovata. So therefore, obviously, she's not doing it to hurt herself or to humiliate herself. On the contrary, she says to look better. Before we conclude, he has another interesting riot at the end of the tshuva. I'm not sure why he like shtupped in. That's a SAT word, by the way, shtupped in. He shtupped in that Lachain. For the psak, and then he has like one last raya. You know, I'm not sure, maybe he was like writing, you know, really like, you know, almost spontaneously, and you know, he thought he had the conclusion, and then he's like, wait, one second, and then all of a sudden another raya came to him. I'm not sure. But either way, he does have another raya, which is almost anticlimactic. But P.S., another proof to this, says Rav Moshe, Sas Raya Ode from the Gemara in Bechoros. The Mishnah there on Daf Mem Hei speaks about a person, Shatnan Haisa Ba Yateres Bechotcha. Right, if you have a Bechor or a Kohen, I don't remember exactly the case, but the point is somebody in the Beit HaMikdash who was born with an extra finger, an extra limb, and they cut it off, they removed it. So the Gemara there discusses, when do you think that that is considered a Baal Mum or not? Right? If you're missing a finger, that's one of the Mumin that disqualifies you. So what if you were born with six fingers? Is that considered a Mum to remove that or not? So the Mishnah there, the word says, it depends if the extra limb, if the extra appendage was normal, it was in the right place, parallel to the other fingers, and it had a bone, it had a fingernail, whatever. But if it doesn't have that, says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, then actually that's not considered chavola. That's not going to make the person a baal mum. Like, that's the context there. So says Rav Moshe, imay osur lechodcha, havle lemisnei, havle bishayin rishai. Says Rav Moshe, the whole discussion there in Bechoros is all very technical, esoteric, but something that you did makes the person a baal mum. What's totally absent, that's about the result, but totally absent from the Gemara's discussion is any moral halachic judgment, were you allowed to do it at all? Says Rav Moshe, what can I infer from that? Says Rav Moshe, all we're discussing is some tangential or derivative issue. If it's Balmum, but no one ever said it's Usr. Says Rav Moshe, what can I infer from the silence? That it must be Mutzer. Because if it would have been Usr, the Gemara could have said, A, it's Usr to do, and B, it does or doesn't make him, you could have said, even though it's Usr, it doesn't make him a Balmum. Right? That could happen. He should have done it, but it doesn't necessarily possible him. Or you could have said, even not only is it Usr, it's also a Balmum. But the Gemara never says anything about being Usr. Says there's a motion, you can be Madaik from this, that apparently it's not Usr at all, and then the only question is whether it makes the person a Baal Mum. So now he gives yet again a final conclusion. We're almost done here. Skip towards the end of the paragraph. Ella, Tzarach Lomar, Dekemashu Lenoi, Shlachenu Letovato, Sherotze Bezeh, Leka Yisrael Dechovel. So too he says, with this Kohen, this Bechor, this person who cut off his finger, that's just like the girl giving the nose job, since he's doing it because he thinks he looks better, that's apparently not considered chavala. Favi mizeh raya mamish, luvdav didon, said Moshe, that's a mamish, mamish raya, again, to our case, shekol shekein, kol shekein benara, shayofi yoter tzorach betovala mil ish. Right, Moshe was politically incorrect, he didn't apologize. Moshe says, beauty, looking good, is more important to a girl. So if this man in Bechoros is considered allowed to do that because of yofi, and that's not usher, so, and that's considered a sufficient sorech, that it's not considered chavala. So too, says Rav Moshe, kol shekein, all the more so, for a woman. The Isa Biksuvis, he points out that, you know, women really care about their physical appearance. The Vada yesh lahachshiv shu l'tovata, umutaras lachmol b'shvil l'hisyapos. So just two PS's as we conclude. Number one is that I can't remember where I saw this, an article many years ago, that I think Rav Shechter quoted that the Rav also matired, I think, nose jobs, based on the same Rambam. I don't know if it's written anywhere, but at Baal Peh, the Rav had the same approach in the Rambam, and the same, in fact, the same psak. That's number one. Number two is, just to point out, if you take a look, we won't have time to look at it inside, but if you take a look at the back of the sheet, you see the second tshuva that I put on, which is very short. This is the whole tshuva, and it's very easy to read. This is the tshuva about dieting. So even though it comes first, most of the lumdus and the real hard work was done in Rav Moshe's second tshuva. So that's why I put, and this one also chronologically is a few years later. Yeah, 6 years later. So Rav Moshe distinguishes, I'll just tell you briefly, Baal Peh, between two types of diets. Some people diet for health reasons, and some people diet for pure vanity. Now, today's day and age, we're much more aware of the health risks of being, you know, overweight. So there's much more overlap, I think, now than people used to think. Right? You know, you don't look good with a pot belly. You also are at higher risk for things. My guess is that when Rav Moshe wrote this tshuva, you know, just being, you know, having a middle-aged pot belly, you know, it probably was, he would have viewed that as purely aesthetic. I don't know, I'm speculating, but I'm not sure that they necessarily knew back then that there might also be subtle health risks. Although apparently, according to even Rav Moshe says, even those days, someone was really obese, and then that they apparently even in those days knew that there was a health risk. So says Rav Moshe, yes, there's all sorts of pain and torture and inflicted harm when you diet. So says Rav Moshe, obviously if this is being done for health risks and for health reasons, he thinks for sure it's mutter. Nothing to talk about. But he says, on the, in the second paragraph, al elu noshim, right? Because again, our Moshe couldn't imagine men doing this, I guess. Al elu noshim shenogus b'dayet rakushvil noy v'yofi shayach lidon imutra me'achar shem mitzaros. Maybe you'll aser it. After all, maybe this is kind of a form of chovel. What kind of chovel is that? Says our Moshe. This is analogous to the yayin and the nazir, which Rabbi Elazar HaKaper said is usher, and that might be, according to one opinion in the Gemara, the basis of our heter, of the isser of Kavalah. And after all, Tosfos taught us that even if there's a reason, it's Tzorech, but don't we say that Tzorech is usher? So he gets into the whole discussion here. I just want to show you two things. If you look on the left-hand side, the second line, Hu pashut uvarer umamish kein. That's the word of the day. He says it's for sure true. Says women for sure feel better about themselves. There's a greater hana for them when they look pretty. It goes without saying, a single girl who's eligible is going to feel better about herself if she looks pretty. Even the married women, they also want to look pretty so that their husbands are attracted to them. After all, how do I know this, says our Moshe? He's not reading Cosmopolitan magazine, Rahman al-Islam. He says, but I know, right? Aren't there married women who diet? So apparently the married women care about their appearance as well. And the fact that they're inflicting some kind of discomfort doesn't somehow stop them because they are still willing to do it. So Lamaisa Rav Moshe does something very interesting. First of all, he says it depends. What are you talking about? If you're saying that they're going to withhold from themselves what he calls mitukim, right? No more desserts, or no more doubles at the dessert table, no more Snickers bar in the afternoon, all sorts of things like that. That Rav Moshe says, for sure that's mutter. Because that's like minia, like a hana, like the yain that we saw in the first tshuva. But then Rav Moshe surprised us, and at the end of that paragraph, he says, but if you're talking about the pain, not just because I'm not having my desserts and my candies and that, like, but I'm in pain because I'm mamish starving myself, right? I'm on, a low-calorie diet, and I'm starving at 3 in the afternoon, but I know I can't eat because I'm at my calorie limit till dinner and v'chule. I go to sleep starving because I ate, the 3 little carrots I'm allowed to have for dinner or one of these diets. So that Rav Moshe says he thinks that's a tsar mamish ve'etzem, not just because of taiva, but really inflicting harm, and he thinks that should be usur, since it's only being done b'shvil noy v'yofi. And that's the conclusion of the tshuva. Back-to-back tshuvas. So I don't have an answer for you. I don't have an answer. I'm ma'ale al shulchan malachim. But I don't believe I'm the first to notice. I'm sure people have noticed this. It seems like there might be a steer between these two tshuvas back-to-back. In light of what Rav Moshe said about the nose job and cosmetic surgery, why would this be, if you're allowed to bash your nose in and break your nose to reset it and shave off the bump and whatever else they do, depending on how bad your nose is. So, that's all real stuff. I'm not making that up. So that lechoref, you're saying that's mutter because if it's being done lenoy, it's not by definition chavala. So why is a diet chavala? A diet that's being done for noy should by definition also not be chavala. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the answer is. The minhag is not like Rav Moshe in this case, I can tell you that. Plenty of nice Jewish women diet. I haven't done a comprehensive research of the tshuvas. There's other poskim who matter dieting against Rav Moshe. Or just, people read the nose job tshuva and they say, oh, presumably if nose jobs are mutter, so diet for sure mutter. But it's also true, again, nowadays, that almost, not any, but almost, not every, but almost any person who diets probably is benefiting health-wise. Right? There are people who, are barely, they look at themselves, oh, I'm a little, chunky, I'm a little this, even though they're really totally healthy and look fine. So that would be relevant to Rav Moshe's tshuva, and I'm still not sure I understand why he's machmir, honestly, given the principles in the tshuva we spent most of our time on. But someone who's even 15, 20 pounds overweight, forget obese, I bet you if you go to the doctor, they'll tell you that you're at higher risk for all sorts of things, certainly long term. So that would probably anyway be included in Rav Moshe's initial heter for dieting if there's a health benefit. But if you could pare it away, if you could isolate it and say this is purely, no health benefit at all, just aesthetic, just vanity. So Rav Moshe, again, here in this second tshuva we're learning, I did mention an Isser, but I have to say, I'm not really sure I understand it, especially in light of the first tshuva that we learned. Okay? Shkoyach.